Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network.
Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Friday, fantasy coaches, and welcome to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Sylvester. By my side, producer JP Gale, and on today's show, we'll have guest Derek Farnsworth, who you probably know better as Notorious from Roto Grinders. So we will, of course, be talking about Week 5 DFS since Notorious is with us. Hi, Derek. Thanks for joining us.
Bobby, what's going on, man?
I'm pumped about this weekend. I built my lineups right before this, and it's looking good. I'm feeling pretty confident. Last week was a good week, but not good enough. I didn't take down a big prize, so this is the week.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. The first 4 weeks have been pretty good cash games. But as far as tournaments go, I've yet to hit the big one. So I'm kind of in the same boat as you.
So 2 years ago, I realized you really knew what you were talking about when I was reading some of your NBA advice. I was doing it a couple times a week, and I thought, man, this guy's really good. Then when I found out you were doing multiple sports, I was pumped. How did you become so successful in DFS? Did you start like the rest of us, taking your lumps, or did you just hit a home run from the get-go?
No, I definitely took my lumps. I think I introduced to DFS towards the end of the NFL season, maybe 5 years ago. And like everyone else, I had to deposit a few times before I got the hang of it. And then basketball season came around, and that's always a sport that I've always cherished the most and knew the most about. So once I got the hang of basketball, and sort of just figuring out DFS in general, and then getting used to the little nuances of each individual sport.
So did you like build your own algorithm that you stand by strictly, or what does your research process kind of look like?
Yeah, so for NFL, I have my own set of projections, and I actually love using the Fantasy Pros, expert consensus rankings, just to be able to spot some of the best value plays. I like to compare those rankings to sort of the salary rankings on both FanDuel and DraftKings. Just look for mispriced guys and see, some of the players that some of the experts are higher on than I am. And if there's a big difference, I'd like to look and see why, I'm not as high on that player. So I like to read a few different people's articles. JM to win on Roto Grinders is one of my favorites.
He's the best, isn't he?
Yeah, he's awesome. And Evan Silva from Roto World, got to read his matchups column every week. So, there's a few guys that I definitely listen to each week. But for the most part, I'm just looking at rankings and my own individual projections.
All right. Well, what we're going to do here today, we're going to go one position at a time. We're going to be talking about FanDuel, DraftKings prices, because that's what most people listening play. So we'll start here at the quarterback position. And I want to talk about Tom Brady. Is he going to be the top-owned quarterback this week? And how many shares are you grabbing?
Yeah, I think he's going to be the highest-owned player, at least at the quarterback position. But the good thing is, quarterback, everyone likes to pair him with their receivers, especially in tournaments. So usually we see a pretty even ownership across the position. So even if he's 20 to 25% owned, I still think you can load up on him in tournaments. You don't have to worry about, him being so chalked that you have to fade him. So, he's my favorite guy. We know that the Patriots love to hold grudges. They don't mind running up the score. And, you know, we kind of have the double narrative here. We have Brady coming back from his suspension, and then the Patriots were shut out last week against the Bills. So a lot of reasons to like them. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's a good point, too. I forgot all about the shutout. I was just thinking angry Brady. Plus, you have Belichick going to Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many reasons to like this offense. And, you know, the Browns defense, they can't stop anybody. This would typically set up, you know, for a LeGarrette Blount type of game because they're favored so big. But I think they just come out and throw it all over the Browns.
Now, do you think Brady's going to be ready? I mean, he hasn't been with his teammates for 4 weeks.
He's Tom Brady, man. He'll be ready.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. It just makes me nervous. I can't fathom playing him in a cash game just because I don't know. I mean, you can almost be certain, but that's why I'm pretty much staying away from the cash games this week, because there's no one who really stands out to me at quarterback. And if you don't have a quarterback you really trust, I just tend to go GPP in those weeks. Maybe I'm wrong to do that, but there's a couple guys I really like in GPP, and we'll be talking about some of those here in a minute. One of them is Brian Hoyer. I think he's the top value quarterback. Is there someone else you have in mind as a top value?
I think Hoyer's got to be the top value available. Derek Anderson would be very interesting if Cam Newton gets ruled out, but he's obviously not available in the main slate. And then Paxton Lynch would be interesting too if Trevor Siemian gets ruled out. But yeah, like you mentioned, I think Hoyer's the best value here. He's cheap across the industry. You know, he's played well against the Cowboys and Lions, got a great matchup against the Colts. The only thing I worry about is his lack of weapons. Kevin White just went on the IR. Zach Miller, Eddie Royal both didn't practice yesterday. Alshon Jeffrey could be shadowed by Vontae Davis. Does that worry you at all?
Oh, yeah, definitely does. Vontae Davis is really good, but, I mean, it's the Colts defense. So
yeah,
exactly. From behind. It doesn't really matter who he's passing to, even if it's some no-name guy. I think they'll be able to put up – Brian Hoyer will be able to put up value against that Colts defense, even with nobody passing. Paxton Lynch is a guy you brought up, 6,800 on FanDuel. And, you know, that's not as low as some of these other players like Cody Kessler and such, but Paxton Lynch can do it on the ground. And for a cash game play, I like him a lot because you think he's probably going to get 30, 40 rushing yards. He might pick up a rushing touchdown. And so he won't have to do as much through the air, but he probably will against this Falcons defense. So, yeah, I like Paxton Lynch if he plays.
Yeah, I do too. Somehow the Falcons have given up at least 3 passing touchdowns in every game this season. I don't expect that from Lynch, obviously, but like you mentioned, him being able to do stuff with his legs, that gives him a much higher floor than some of the other quarterbacks.
Isn't that stat amazing? We're in the 5th week now, and they've given up at least 3 touchdowns passing in every single game. That's gone really overshadowed by how good Matt Ryan's been, and then the 300 by Julio Jones last week. But this Falcons secondary, even with Dan Quinn as their coach, you would think they'd have a great secondary, but it's just been abysmal.
Yeah, definitely one of my favorite secondaries to attack, both with quarterbacks and some wide receivers.
So let's talk about contrarian plays here at quarterback. It seems like every week, not every week. I mean, obviously, sometimes the chalk guy like Tom Brady ends up being in the millionaire lineup. But, you know, a lot of times we see contrarian quarterbacks like Matt Ryan, who luckily I was, you know, keyed in on how bad Carolina's secondary is this year. And I played Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. So that worked out last week. But who's the guy that it could be this week? I think it might be Eli Manning against Green Bay.
Wow, I can't believe we're on the same page here. I was going to say, don't throw up before after I tell you this pick. But yeah, I'm glad you're on the same page. This is a game where he should have positive game script in his favor. The Packers are what we like to call, you know, pass funnel defense. Very good against the run, not very good against the pass. They're going to be missing Sam Shields again, who's their best cornerback. And yeah, I mean, it just sets up a lot like the Packers-Lions game a couple weeks ago, where the Packers got out to a big lead, and then Stafford and Marvin Jones just came back and had monster games. So yeah, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, in Eli Manning, I don't understand why he's so cheap. He's 7,700 on FanDuel, right behind Matt Ryan, who's playing at Denver, which is virtually an impossible task. Like you said, the game script, the secondary, Sam Shields is probably out. He's been, you know, in and out of practice all week, so even if he does play, he won't be 100%. And then Odell Beckham, I know he said he's not having fun playing football and he's kind of a distraction, he's a head case, whatever it may be, but people have been talking down on him all week. And he's the type of wide receiver, I don't know if you want to call him a diva or what it may be, but when people are talking down on him, he's going to take it up to another level. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he has an explosive game. You know, Sterling Shepard's been reliable. They've got some weapons there. And just because Eli Manning hasn't been as good doesn't mean that it's going to continue in week five. So I think a lot of people are going to be off him, and I don't think they should be. I think he's a real strong play this week.
Yeah, I agree. One more stat. Manning, I expect some positive touchdown regression coming soon. He's accounted for 76% of their total yards, but only 56% of their touchdowns. So I like his touchdowns to go up soon.
Now, what about Carson Wentz? I've heard a few people throw his name out as a good value this week. He's coming off the bye. He's going up against that Lions secondary, who I don't think the Lions secondary is as bad. It's just that their schedule's been so difficult, and so they've been destroyed. But I'm not really sure about this pick. I see the upside there, but he doesn't especially have any weapons. It's an away game. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great matchup, and, you know, the Eagles haven't really had a game that would favor, you know, the passing game. They've won at least every game by 15 points, I believe. So, I mean, this is a good spot for him, but, he's still a young rookie quarterback on the road. Like you mentioned, I don't think the Lions secondary is as bad as the numbers indicate. You know, Darius Slay is still excellent corner. So, yeah, I'm with you. I like some of the other guys better, but I continue to be surprised by what Wentz is doing.
Now, if you're fading Tom Brady, and I know that you're not going to because you like him, but say you're playing a couple of GPP lineups and you're not using Tom Brady in one of them, but when you want to spend up on your quarterbacks, who do you like out of that top tier? There's some good matchups this week. Aaron Rodgers against the Giants, Big Ben at home against the Jets, Andrew Luck, he's probably my favorite this week at that banged up Chicago Bears defense. I'm sorry, at Indianapolis against that banged up Chicago Bears defense. And then Phillip Rivers at Oakland. I think that's a good matchup too.
Yeah, I think you can make a case for all four of those guys. If I had to choose one, I'd probably go with Big Ben at home. We know how much better he plays at home than he does on the road. And, the Jets are great against the run, and they're ranked 31st against the pass in terms of DVOA. And now he's got Le'Veon Bell back, who lined up as a receiver in something like 27% of his snaps last week. So, I mean, he's just got a ton of weapons, and they're going to be throwing the ball. So I really like Roethlisberger in both cash games and GPPs.
Let's use that as a transition here over to the running back position, because I want to talk about Le'Veon Bell. And I know he's going to be lined up at wide receiver some of the time, but that Jets front seven, it is stout. Is he matchup proof? Is Le'Veon Bell matchup proof, or should we avoid using him against the Jets?
So I think he's probably the most matchup proof of any running back in the NFL, just because, you know, the Steelers use him in so many different packages, and they line him up at receiver, and, you know, they have such a lethal offense that teams can't, you know, load the box and try to stop the run. I mean, they're still going to have to worry about Big Ben and Antonio Brown. And I think it's going to open things up for Le'Veon. I mean, I think, until he gets, you know, over 9,000 on FanDuel and over 8,000 on DraftKings, I'm just going to keep playing him. He saw 23 touches last week in a game that was out of hand, basically at halftime. So, I mean, I expect him to be a huge part of the offense. And, he has the freshest legs of any running back in the NFL right now.
Would you say he's in the majority of your cash game lineups right now?
Yes.
Ah, man, he makes me so nervous. I'm looking at that. And DraftKings says his opponent rank is number 4 in stopping the run. And anytime I see that, I just cringe. And he's the most expensive. Look, I can definitely see playing him. I know you know what you're talking about. It still makes me nervous, though, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think the Jets are holding, run games at 3.2 yards per carry. But again, you just got to think, you know, he's going to get 20-plus touches. The Steelers have the second highest implied team total on the board. He's going to get all the goal line work, all the red zone touches, and he's going to see a bunch of targets through the air, too. So especially on DraftKings full PPR, I think he's the top guy.
Now, David Johnson doesn't qualify for the main slate, so we're not really going to talk about him. I do think he's the best play this week. I know you already said you think it's Le'Veon. But right behind him, I love Todd Gurley this week. Buffalo Bills have lost so many players in their front seven. Those that have returned, they're not quite 100% yet. And Todd Gurley's had a really hard schedule to begin with. The game scripts haven't really been there for Todd Gurley to explode. I think this is the perfect scenario for Gurley. He could bust a couple big runs. I like using him. I'm using him in all my cash games. How do you feel about Gurley this week?
I think it's definitely a good week to hop on Gurley playing at home, and they're finally favored. The Bills don't have a bad run defense, but Gurley's pretty much every down back. I mean, he's played 86% of the snaps last week. He's seen close to 40% of the touches total team touches, and they're finally using him in the passing game. You know, he's always been able to catch the ball, but for every reason they haven't used him. And so I really like that moving forward.
Is there another running back besides Bell that you think is just, you kind of have to play him in cash games this week?
One of the guys I'm looking at is Jordan Howard. I'm usually not a fan of taking the underdog running backs on the road, but I think this is a spot where, you know, his production doesn't really rely on game flow. He's going to get all the snaps, and he's going to get work, whether it's in the running game or the passing game. And I want to have exposure to this Bears offense. So if I'm paying up a quarterback and I'm not going down to Hoyer, I really like getting Howard in there so I can get some exposure to this Colts defense.
Yeah, and you talked about their banged up wide receiver core. Howard's probably going to get a couple extra targets this week as a result. So yeah, I'm almost certain he's going to hit value. I'm pretty sure he's going to be highly owned. He looked good last week, and that matchup last week was real good. So it makes him look better than he is. But you know, this is not a bad scenario for Howard again. One guy I really like is James White. Really only on PPR DraftKings, full PPR DraftKings. He's 3,900. Tom Brady's coming back. We know he was great when Tom Brady was there last year and Deion Lewis was hurt. I think this is pretty much an ideal game for him. Going to Cleveland, who, you know, they can't stop the run. They can't stop running backs out of the backfield catching the ball. I like him a lot at that price.
Yeah, I really like that call. Anytime we expect the Patriots to be passing a lot, you definitely want their pass catching running back. And yeah, with Gronk banged up a little bit, White could see quite a bit of work in this one, especially if they decide to spread it out against the Browns.
Let's switch it over and talk about GPP for this question here. We saw Tevin Coleman and Matt Jones in a bunch of GPP winning lineups lately the past 2 weeks. Which obscure back could it be this week?
I'm going to go Theo Riddick. Assuming Dwayne Washington is out, I think he's going to see, you know, close to 80% of the snaps. Lions are underdogs against the Eagles, which always sets up well for Riddick. They should be throwing a lot, especially if they get down early. And, you know, he's averaging 6.5 targets per game, and he even saw some goal line work last week. You know, he didn't get in the end zone, but if he's getting those goal line carries, that really improves his value. So I don't think a lot of people are going to be on him, but I may have him in a few tournaments.
Philadelphia has been really good against the run so far this season, and I've had a couple emails and tweets thrown at me, even a review on our iTunes saying that I'm busting on the Eagles defense too much. The matter of the fact is, they were by far the worst run defense in the league last year. I know they got a new coach. I know they made some changes. They're a little healthier. But right now, they're third in stopping the run. That's not going to keep up. There's got to be some regression there. And look, I was wrong. I was saying they were the worst run defense again. It's pretty evident that they're not. But like you're saying, this could be a sneaky contrarian play. I like Theo Riddick there. For me, the guys, now that Latavius Murray's doubtful, he's in a walking boot. It's Washington over in Oakland. What do you think about him this week at that real low price?
Yeah, I mean, he's getting more touches each and every week, and that should only go up this week with Latavius Murray out. So I like that call. You know, I don't expect him to be an every down player, but I think he could see 13 to 16 touches, which is definitely good against the Chargers. So I like that call a lot.
And we haven't really heard anything about Matt Forte. He was carted off, went to the X-ray room, and apparently he's going to play, but is Bilal Powell, is he a good play this week just in case Forte doesn't suit up?
Yeah, I mean, I think you want to keep your eye on him if Forte is unable to go. But yeah, we'll probably have to wait until Sunday morning to know that one.
And then finally, I want to talk about Jerick McKinnon. Now, Jerick McKinnon is immensely talented. If you just watch the film of this guy, he could be an RB1. I've been talking about it all preseason. And finally, he's got the job. He started off with two rough matchups, and he even looked good last week against a good run defense. Now, Houston's got some big injuries on their defense, and Minnesota's playing a home game. I think this game script sets up well for McKinnon. He's real cheap, too. $4,000 on DraftKings. Do you think he could just absolutely explode here?
Yeah, definitely. I was hoping he wouldn't have a good game on Monday night against the Giants just because I wanted that ownership to stay low. But I think he's going to be pretty popular. Like you said, he's very talented. And I don't think it's that much of a hot take to say, you know, he's as good as Adrian Peterson at this point in their careers. So, yeah, I mean, if you just were to think, you know, can you start Adrian Peterson for $4,000 against the Texans? You'd do it every time, right?
That is awesome. That is a serious hot take. And I'm really glad to hear you say that because it like kind of confirms what I've been saying all year. Like, this guy is so good. If you guys haven't seen the Vikings play this year, tune in, watch that game, find a way to see it, stream it online. Jerick McKinnon is a special talent. I mean, think Amir Abdullah, but you know, he can do a lot more than Amir Abdullah. He's got those crazy cuts. He's a fantastic young talent. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does in his career. Derek, who's another mid-range player that no one's really talking about that you think could end up finishing the top three somehow?
All right, so he's kind of in the upper tier, but I really like the spot for CJ Anderson at home against the Falcons. Like we mentioned, their defense has not been good this year. They haven't been able to stop the run or the pass. And anytime CJ Anderson's a favorite at home, you got to like his chances. He sees all the goal line work. He should see 20-plus touches. And I don't think a lot of people are really on him. You know, a lot of people have him ranked inside their top five in terms of their running back rankings for the week. But I haven't heard very much buzz about him from a DFS point of view. So I think he's a really good play.
How do you feel about Ezekiel Elliott this week? He's at home against Cincinnati. He's coming off two real good weeks. And, you know, I know Cincinnati's defense is a lot better, but I don't think it's the kind of matchup that you completely avoid. Ezekiel Elliott is one of the top three most talented running backs in the NFL, as far as I'm concerned, based on what I've been seeing lately. So do you think he could, you know, be low owned 2-5% or something like that and then have the number one week?
I mean, he hasn't seemed to let anyone down yet. I mean, anybody that's played him, you know, has liked, you know, how he's fared. So I think he'll be more popular than that. But even if he's 10% or so, I think that's a good pick. You know, if you're talking about a top three running back in terms of talent, and then you put him behind the best offensive line in the NFL, you know, good things are going to happen regardless of the opponent. So I think that's a good call too.
If you guys are listening to the show and enjoying it, please just jump over to iTunes, take 30 seconds to subscribe and leave us a review. Really helps us out a lot. All right, Derek, let's move over and talk about wide receiver. And I've got to start with Odell Beckham. This volatile attitude, is it worth the risk in cash games? I mean, it's a great matchup and he's not a bad price considering his skill set, but are you taking that risk?
I don't think I can do it in cash games. I'm going to have a ton of exposure to him in tournaments. Kind of reminds me of last week when everyone was off of Julio Jones because he you know, put up a dud against the Saints and then he came back and had that monster game. It seems like a lot of people are going to be off of Beckham this week, even though it's a great matchup against the Packers. But yeah, I mean, the Giants came out today and said that if he has another tantrum, they're going to consider suspending him for a game or two themselves. So, I mean, it's just really, really risky right now. I wouldn't take him in cash games, but him and Eli is one of my favorite tournament pairings.
Now, if you need to save money this week, who's a real cheap option with some major upside at wide receiver?
So this hinges on the status of Dez Bryant, but I really like Bryce Butler. Dez didn't practice Thursday, and Butler played more snaps than any wide receiver on the Cowboys last week, played 62 of 80 snaps. He had 9 targets, caught 5 balls for 41 yards and a touchdown, and he could have caught another touchdown. You know, not a great matchup against Cincinnati, but he's a big receiver. He's pretty much the same size and weight as Dez, and I think he's going to get some red zone looks.
People who have been listening to this podcast all year, they're going to laugh really hard when I say this because I was so low on this guy and it just kind of became a mockery. But Doriel Green Beckham, I know he hasn't been getting a ton of snaps. I know he hasn't been getting a ton of looks, but look, we know this guy's an absolute freak in the red zone. I think Carson Wentz is going to have a pretty good week coming off that bye. It's a pretty decent matchup. I can see multiple touchdowns coming his way. He doesn't necessarily have to have 100 receiving yards or anything like that to have a huge week. If you put up 2 touchdowns, you're probably a top 5 or 6 scorer, right?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is I don't know if he's going to get 2 touchdowns. I mean,
yeah, it's very unlikely. But, yeah. I mean, if you're taking chances in GPP, there's worse guys to go to.
No, yeah. I mean, if you need a really cheap guy, I don't mind that. You know he's got a lot of upside. And if he could break a long one, he could be a difference maker for sure.
Now, how about one of these cheap Brady wide receivers? You know, Malcolm Mitchell, who hasn't been playing as much, but, you know, they haven't been in 3 wide receiver sets because they've been running out Jacoby Brissett. Or Danny Amendola, who we saw have a good week a couple weeks ago. Which of these guys do you think might be worth owning?
I'm actually going to go Chris Hogan.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can really take your pick. I mean, the Patriots are going to spread the ball around. A lot of people are going to get, you know, their production. But I like Hogan. You've got Edelman running the underneath routes. And I think, you know, he's going to get some looks in those intermediate routes. If you know, we know Brady, he likes to lock into his receiver. So if he gets something going with one of them, he's just going to keep attacking that matchup. And so, yeah, I mean, I like pairing him with Edelman the most. But if I'm going off the board, I like Hogan a bit, too.
Now, I've got kind of a theory question. It came into my email inbox, and I thought I've got to ask Derek about this one. He'll have a much better answer than me. If a wide receiver like Michael Crabtree has a huge week, does it correlate to success the following week?
I don't think so. I mean, usually when that happens, you know, they have a letdown week the next week, and they tend to be overowned in DFS. So whenever that happens, I usually try to avoid them unless the matchup's just so good that you can't. And in the terms of Crabtree, you know, he's only 6,900 on FanDuel. So, I mean, he's going to be popular, and I think he's still in a good spot. He's certainly playable. But for a guy like Julio Jones coming off that 300-yard game, you know, he's going to be overowned. He's got a terrible matchup. So I'm getting off of Julio this week.
You know, I was studying our projected ownership data that we've been putting out there just so I can figure out, like, if we're missing somewhere and where we are missing so that we can figure out how to fix it. In almost every circumstance where we're missing, it's because a player the previous week had a huge week, and so everyone's really high on him. And then typically, it looks like the guy goes backwards, where the player had a terrible week, like Julio Jones put up the stinker, and Kelvin Benjamin, you know, put up the donut a couple weeks ago, and then everyone's afraid to play him. And we know that that's, you know, people say that that happens, but how extreme it is, it's just absolutely absurd to me. I mean, you have to play the matchups and the factors and all that stuff every week. You can't just say, well, he was good last week, so his entire career trajectory must have completely changed in 1 week, right?
Yeah, and I think going off the Crabtree thing, I think this could be a good week to buy low on Amari Cooper. You know, everyone's just hating the guy right now, saying he's, you know, their wide receiver three or something crazy like that. You know, but he's had a couple of big plays called back, and he stepped out of bounds on one, and it's only a matter of time before he breaks out. And if you can get him at a fifth of the ownership as Crabtree, I'll take my chances anytime with that.
So there's not as much volatility at the wide receiver position. We tend to see, you know, some of these elite wide receivers tend to be in the top three or four. But every once in a while, one of these contrarian players sneaks in. It was Marvin Jones a couple weeks ago, who's really emerging. We got to be honest about that. And Stephon Diggs, who is another emerging player, probably a late wide receiver too in standard fantasy leagues. But who's one of these mid-tier guys that you could see just exploding this week?
I'm going to go with Brandon Marshall. Eric Decker didn't play last week, and he didn't practice on Thursday. It sounds like he's closer to doubtful than questionable. And with Decker out, Brandon Marshall saw a 29% market share. We know Ryan Fitzpatrick's been terrible, but he loves to throw the ball to Marshall, especially when Decker's out. And, you know, we saw a pretty good game from him last week. He finally looked a little bit healthier, caught four passes for 92 yards and a touchdown against a very tough Seattle secondary. And they're going to come into this game against Pittsburgh. They're going to have to keep up. They're going to have to score points to keep up. And it should be a good game flow for him. I think he could see, you know, 15 targets or so. So at 7,600 on FanDuel, 7,100 on DraftKings, I think there's a decent chance he could end up being a top two or three receiver.
There's two wide receivers here that kind of stand out to me. Jarvis Landry and Emmanuel Sanders have both been having very good years. They're getting a ton of targets. You know, Demaryius Thomas hasn't really been himself. He's questionable again. He's going up against Atlanta's defense. So I think Sanders could be in for a huge week. Jarvis Landry is going up against Tennessee, and you know they're going to be able to stop the run, especially with whatever's going on in that Dolphins backfield. So I think Ryan Tannehill airs it out. And Jarvis Landry's really his only guy. I mean, I know you've got Devontae Parker, but it's really not even close. Landry's far and away Tannehill's favorite target. They don't have much going on in the running game out of the backfield with passing, and their tight end, Cameron's probably out again with a concussion. So I think Landry could put up the most targets this week. And if that's the case, you know, there's always a lot of upside there. Our ownership projections right now have these guys at 9% and 10%. Do you think they're under-owned at that spot?
Oh, yeah, I definitely wanted to be over or have more exposure than that compared to the field. I'm looking at my spreadsheet right now, and both of them have at least a market share of 33%, which is just massive. So I like the calls on both of those guys, especially with Devontae Parker and Demaryius Thomas banged up a little bit.
Now, we know the Redskins secondary has been very bad. Even though they added Josh Norman, they're 27th in against wide receivers in giving up fantasy points. So who do you like out of here? Steve Smith's been getting a lot of targets, but Mike Wallace has been really good this season. We know Breshad Perriman can break out. Is there one guy that you're targeting out of the Ravens wide receiver core?
I'd probably just listen, to the beat reporters, see if Norman's going to follow, shadow any of these guys. If that's the case, I'd obviously go with the opposite of Steve Smith or Mike Wallace. But as of right now, I think Mike Wallace is the play. Steve Smith, I mean, he's been awesome, but it's just hard to trust a guy that's that old coming off that type of injury.
Yeah, you're exactly right about that. I still like Steve Smith just because I think the volume's going to be there, but Mike Wallace, we know what he can do in GPP, and it is exciting. Now, over in that San Diego Chargers receiver core, again, it's an absolute mess. Keenan Allen's gone. Danny Woodhead's not catching passes anymore. So someone's got to catch passes against this Oakland Raiders defense, right? Who's it going to be?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seems like every week someone else breaks out. Travis Benjamin had his big week, and then Tyrell Williams, and then last week it was Dontrell Inman. So, I mean, it's really tough to predict at this point. I think if you want exposure to this game, I would rather just go with the naked Phillip Rivers, and then that way, you just get exposure to all of his weapons. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough.
Let's move over to tight end. I want to talk about Gronk. I know everyone's afraid to play him. He already burned me once this season. Is he actually going to play enough to be startable in DFS?
So last week he played enough snaps to be startable. He played 67%, but he only ran 13 pass routes. I think that had to do more with their quarterback, and they were just trying to run the ball the entire game. Even though they were down, they didn't really throw the ball a lot. So I think with Tom Brady back, he's going to be running a lot more pass routes. I don't expect him to get over 100 yards, but I definitely think a 2-touchdown game is in the realm of possibility. So I think this is the first week that he's playable in DFS.
So in order to be the top tight end in fantasy points, you almost have to score 2 touchdowns. Every week, there's going to be 5 or 6 guys who put up, 50 to 80 receiving yards and a touchdown. But those 2 touchdowns, that'll really put you over the top since no one's getting 140 receiving yards from tight end. So who's it going to be this week? Who's someone that could finish with multiple touchdowns at the position?
All right, I'm going to go with Delanie Walker going up against the Dolphins. He was a hot commodity a few weeks ago. And then he had a subpar game last week coming back from his injury. But he's still the Titans' best wide out, pretty much. And the Dolphins are ranked 30th in DVOA against tight ends this season. His price has come down a bit across the industry. And, we know he's a target monster when he's healthy. So I think he's an interesting play.
Gary Barnidge hasn't really been doing anything. And look, I know they have Cody Kessler, but the New England Patriots are going to have a huge lead in this game. So the Browns are just going to have to pass the ball. And Pryor is going to be shadowed by Butler. I talked about this last episode, and I know they move Pryor around the field. I get that, but I think Barnidge is due for a bunch of targets. Do you like Barnidge this week?
Yeah, he wasn't really on my radar before the show, but I like all the points you make, especially with Terrell Pryor being covered by Butler. So, yeah, like you mentioned, they're going to be throwing a lot, and he's basically playing all the snaps. And I think he could see upwards of 10 targets in this.
Now, is there a tight end that you consider super safe for cash games? I know Kyle Rudolph's been getting a lot of looks and a lot of mentions this week. Is he a guy you like, or is there someone else?
Yeah, so I think it's another good week to punt the position. And, a lot of these cheaper plays kind of are hinging on different injuries. I mean, Zach Miller didn't practice, but I like his matchup against the Colts. Hunter Henry's going to be a great play if Gates is unable to suit up. And then Zach Ertz is coming back from his injury. We know we like Carson Wentz, and we know how talented Ertz is. And then you mentioned Rudolph. So there's a lot of great plays just right in this same price range. It's really going to come down to the injuries for me. But I think it's a great weekend to punt the tight end position.
One GPP tight end that I'm really excited about is Richard Rodgers, just because anybody that Aaron Rodgers could be throwing the ball to, especially at that price, seems like a good play in a week where it makes sense to punt the tight end and spend up on some of these guys, Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, what have you, at the wide receiver position. You could buy a guy like Richard Rodgers who, he's so cheap and he just picks up a touchdown or two. We know Aaron Rodgers is probably going to have 2, 3, maybe 4 or 5 touchdowns, and maybe one of those will go to Rodgers. Randall Cobb hasn't been much of an asset. They're coming off the bye, and I think it could be a good week for the Packers offense.
Yeah, I like that call. He's a little more pricey on FanDuel, but only $2,900 on DraftKings. So, yeah, I like that.
All right, over to defense. Who's a contrarian play that could force a bunch of turnovers this weekend?
I'm going to go with the Dolphins. I wanted to go with the Steelers against the Jets and Ryan Fitzpatrick, but everyone seems to be talking about the Steelers, so I had to mix it up a little bit. Anyway, Dolphins, very cheap across the industry. They're favored at home, which I always like to look for my defense. They have the best adjusted sack rate in the NFL, which was a bit surprising to me. And then streaming defenses against the Titans has just been very profitable the first 4 weeks of the season. So, I like the Dolphins.
I kind of got burned by the Dolphins the other week. They were playing, I think it was the Browns, and I thought that they were going to force a bunch of turnovers, and it didn't quite work out that way. Now, Marcus Mariota is a totally different story than Cody Kessler, who's, you know, of the Alex Smith mold. He's trained to hold on to the ball. He's not going to be trying to make a bunch of plays. And so, I definitely get that pick this week. One that I think is really intriguing, I talked about this on the Wednesday show when we were talking about season-long rankings for the week. I'm picking up the Indianapolis Colts for a streaming play in season-long league. So, you know, I could see slipping them into a GPP lineup against the Bears. They're going to be throwing the ball a lot. Brian Hoyer has no regard for just slinging the ball wherever if there's two or three people guarding his guys. And like you said, all his wide receivers are hurt. So this could be one of those weird matchups where the Colts have their only good defensive performance of the season. I'm not banking on it. I'm not playing them in cash games. The team that I am playing in cash games is the Buffalo Bills. And look, I know the Los Angeles Rams are 3-1. I would not be the least bit surprised if they finish 3-13. This is a bad team. They have Case Keenum at quarterback, who fumbles the ball as much as anybody in the history of the NFL, it seems like. He throws a ton of picks. Their offensive line is in shambles. I know I already mentioned Todd Gurley's going to have a big week. At least I think so. But, you know, even if he does have a big week, it comes down to turnovers, and I think the Los Angeles Rams are going to be a turnover-prone team the rest of the season.
Yeah, I like that call. I definitely wouldn't use Gurley and the Bills together, kind of working against each other. But yeah, I think that's a good pick. I think Keenum could turn the ball over quite a bit. My favorite defense is probably the Vikings. They've just been awesome so far this season. They're favored by 6, and the Texans have the lowest implied team total on the board. The Vikings have already forced 11 turnovers, and they're playing at home, so I think it's a good spot for them.
Do you think they'll be the most owned defense, or do you think it'll be the Steelers?
I think it'll be close, but I think everyone's going to gravitate toward the Vikings.
All right, Derek, let's finish this up, talk about some stacks. If you had to pick one stack for cash games, which team do you trust the most?
All right, so we talked about him earlier. I'm on Team Brady this week, and I like pairing him up with Julian Edelman, especially in full PPR sites. I just think it's a great spot for this passing offense. We know the Browns are terrible. We know the Patriots have a point to prove. We know Brady's angry. Just a lot of reasons to like them. What about you?
I don't know how you can go against the Patriots. I mean, you know Belichick and Brady are going to try to run up the score there. It's just going to happen, but as far as stacks go, I think Brady just spreads the ball around so much that I'm afraid to use him in GPP just because I don't mind using Brady in GPP, but I don't know which wide receiver to pick. I mean, sure, maybe someone will have two or three touchdowns, but more likely it's going to be five separate guys with one touchdown. So the stack I like is the Green Bay Packers. I think that's going to be a shootout of a game. And that's what I like to look for in my stacks is, who's going to be the team that needs to pass the ball in the fourth quarter because it's still a close game. So I like Aaron Rodgers. I love Jordy Nelson this week. I don't care how many people are guarding him. Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson just have it going on. And so I already mentioned, I don't mind using Rodgers. I think he's going to be pretty low owned. And so, you know, if he grabs a touchdown or two and Jordy Nelson does, Aaron Rodgers and that stack, it could put you at the top. There's a lot of guys that could put you at the top, but that's the one I trust the most.
Yeah. And I'd even consider throwing Odell Beckham into that stack as well. One of the most correlated things is opposing quarterbacks. So when one quarterback goes off, the other one tends to go off as well. And the only way you can get exposure to that is by targeting the opposing wide receiver one. So I definitely like that.
Derek, that's a really great point. I'm glad you brought that one up. Let's close with this question. Which contrarian stack could lead to $1 million lineup this weekend?
So all three of these players are going to be highly owned individually, but I don't think very many people are going to go with the full Big Ben, Le'Veon, and Antonio stack. The three of them are so expensive, it's going to be hard to fit them all in the same lineup. But we've seen them take down millionaire makers twice last year, just because their whole offense basically runs through Bell and Antonio, and oftentimes they're coming from touchdowns from Big Ben. So they're my favorite contrarian stack. You know, a lot of people are going to be on Ben and Antonio and Ben and Bell, but it's going to be tough for people to stomach rostering all three of them.
For me, I'm not sure how contrarian this is, because I think a lot of people are going to use Hoyer since he's such a good value. But I really like this Bears stack. They're going to have to try to keep up with the Colts, and they shouldn't have any problem. It's going to end up being a close game. I think the Colts will win, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Bears end up scoring 30-plus points. And, you know, with their price points, Brian Hoyer's so cheap. I think Alshon Jeffery's just going to get completely peppered with targets. And then I like Jordan Howard. You already mentioned him out of the backfield. He's going to get a bunch of touches too. So I could see those three guys combining for, you know, near 100 points. And at those prices, that is an incredible value.
Yeah, I like that as well.
All right, Derek. Well, that's all the questions we have for you this week. I really appreciate you coming on, and good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It was a lot of fun, and good luck to you too.
All right, take care. And that wraps up the podcast for this week. Next week, we've got three more shows coming for you, highlighted by Jamie Eisenberg of CBS Sports on Monday to talk about the top waiver wire pickups. Make sure to tune in for all those shows, and please take a few seconds to subscribe on iTunes and leave us a rating and review. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network,
available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.